Very good. I don't know if you have dreams, but around February, March, April, most years, I have a dream. It goes a little bit like this. I'm in the middle of a Colosseum, a large cauldron. There's about 100,000 people around, and I'm often wearing purple in this dream. And it's a game happening out on the oval. And as the siren goes at the end, all of a sudden there's a loud, enthusiastic roar. There's energy, there's adulation, there's thankfulness, there's praise of those who are playing. There's all things going. And it just is an amazing scene. Now, unfortunately, that dream for me normally ends about April. But as we think about the energy of a space, a group of people coming to cheer and to give adulation, it makes me think of a scripture in Revelations, which is far bigger than any football game. It's a time where there's a bunch of angels and other creatures giving praise and honor to the Lord God Most High, whom we don't have to wait for the siren to sound because he already has the victory, and people joining together and give praise and shouting. And so I would love you, if you've got your Bible today, to open with me to Revelations chapter 4. I want to show you a picture of the vision that John had of what is happening in the heavenly realms. And whether this be a direct picture or whether it be a picture that illustrates is not so much the point tonight. The point is that it is a picture of what's happening in the heavenly realms that we are invited into. And in chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelations, it says this: "After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow shone like an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures that were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" The picture is of the angels day and night crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holy means set apart. Set apart are you, Lord God, above all things, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Have dominion, have authority, have power, give life. You are set apart. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the angels are calling this out. And then we see, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you are created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." It's a wonderful scene. It's a scene of energy, of praising and giving worship to our Lord and Savior. And it's the very thing that God actually invites each one of us into. It's not a scene that's an ethereal scene that happens out there and wonder what's going on there. It's a scene that God actually invites us into as living creatures, as people created in his image, to come and join with the angels to declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The worship word in Hebrew is shakak, which means bowing down. The Greek word is proskuneo, which means to encounter and to praise him. That's what we're doing when we're worshiping. When we worship, we're bowing down to the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we are encountering him and we are giving him praise. We're lifting him up. Worship is the ultimate purpose for which we as humans have been created. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7 says, "Everyone who's called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, who I have formed and made." Everyone who's called by name, who I've created for my glory, who I've formed and made. We've been created to give glory and honor to God. Our lives are to bring glory and honor to Him. Our lives are to be a reflector of His glory. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about worship. We're talking about the practices of living out our faith, and the practice that we're looking at today is living our life as a submitted act of worship to Him. So why would we live a submitted act of life, or life of worship to Him? Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we just do our thing? Well, here's what it says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 3 through to 9. It says this, it's pretty powerful. It says, "Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." This is what God has done for us. "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His glory and the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ." How powerful is that? That's the God that we serve. And then Philippians says it like this in Philippians 2 verses 9 and 11. It says this. It says, "Therefore, God exalted Him," being Jesus, "God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's why we worship Him. He has given us everything. He has given us life. He has given us all that we need. He has given us the very direction that we have. He has given the very breath that resides in me. He has given us everything. And therefore, my decision from that space is to lay my life down for Him, because worship is actually to submit my life to Him. That's what worship is, to live a life submitted to Him, because He is worthy of it all. He is set apart. He is holy. He is glory. And so now I live my life not unto myself, but I live my life unto Him. That is exactly what worship is. Worship is a believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, and will and body, to all that God says and does. It is a loving response that is balanced by the fear of the Lord, and is a deepening response as the believer comes to know God better. That's from a guy called Warren Wiersbe. I want to read it again. Worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will and body, to all that God says and does. It is a loving response that is balanced by the fear of the Lord, and is a deepening response as the believer comes to know God better. You know, the more that we know God, the more that we grow in Him, and the more that we understand about who God is, so maturity, the more we mature in God, the more it says that we should be able to lay our life down for Him. In fact, the sign of maturity is not anything else but the ability to lay our life down for God in its entirety. That's a sign of maturity, of walking in faith, that my life now is set to Him, that I'm now living in worship to Him. And if you're like me, so often I go, "I'm not sure I feel like laying my life down for You today, Jesus." Anyone ever had a moment like that where you thought, "I don't know if I feel like doing what You want, God, to be honest"? Of course we do. We all have those moments, don't we? We're humans. But I'm just thankful, so thankful that Jesus went to the cross. He did not stop at, "If there's any other way, go, Father, have Your way." He said, "I will go to the cross and I will die for You," even though He didn't feel like it. Because through the cross we have life, and we have life. So what does it look like? Well, Romans 12, 1, 2 says this. Romans is a little bit further to the left if you're new to the Bible. And it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Because of God has not given us what we deserve, make your whole life set apart. Make your whole life set apart for Him. That is what worship looks like. Setting my life apart for Him. A whole life set apart for Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 puts it like this, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the more giving all to Him, giving thanks to Him. That's what it says in the Colossians. So that means whatever you do, do it in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. So you might be doing very ordinary, very mundane stuff, you think. But when you live your life unto Him, it's not my life anymore, it's your life. Even in your very ordinary, even in your very mundane, you are giving glory and honor to Him. You are giving praise and worship to Him in the very ordinary. So today, whether you are changing nappies, you can do it in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. If you're in your office and you're doing your architectural work, designing houses, you can do it in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. If you're in your school and you're working, you work as though you're working unto the Lord, not unto your teacher, and you can bring glory and honor to Him. The way that you serve your customers in your business, you bring glory and honor to Him. The way that you live out your faith in your family, you bring glory and honor to Him. Whatever you're doing, do it in a way that's submitted to Him, and we live in a life of worship. A life of praise. What does living in a life of worship do? Why would we do that? It brings honor to Him. It reflects the glory back to Him. But also, it positions us in a position of humility, of thankfulness to God. In the way that we submit to Him, we're saying, God, You gave me life. You are better than me. You have given me salvation. You have given me everything. So therefore, I give honor and glory to You because You are my Savior. That is what worship actually is. And so tonight we've come and we've lived out an act of worship by singing, and we'll talk about that later, but the heart of worship is living a life submitted to Him. You know, in this life, you've heard me say before, Louis Giglio talks about this life. He says, if this life was a movie, this world that we're all in is a movie, it's a bit like The Truman Show, not that one. If this was like a movie, there's only one main actor, and it's not me and it's not you. The main actor is Jesus. That means that every other person in this movie set is a supporting actor. And what does a supporting actor do? They point to the main theme and they point to the glory of the main actor. So our lives point to who Jesus is, and we reflect the glory of Him, that the story of our story might be entwined with His large story, that we might live out the story that He has predestined for us to live. If we were a movie, He would be the main actor, and all the glory and all the honor would go to Him. So how do we live out those things? Well, Psalm 95, 2-3 says that when we sing with joy to the Lord, our singing brings glory to God. That's good news, isn't it? Now, some of you, when you sing, you think, I'm not sure if I'm bringing glory to anybody. Yeah? But it's not about what comes out of your lips. In fact, the Bible says that what comes out of your lips is like honey to His ears. It's not about here, it's about here. And when we sing praises, we bring joy and honor to Him. See, when we sing, we're lifting up our eyes to Him, but we're also encouraging those around us to lift their eyes towards Him. So when we sing, we bring glory and honor to Him. Hebrews 13:15 says that when we share with others, when we share with others and we do good towards others, guess what? We bring glory and honor to Him. How good is that? So when you look out for the needs of others and you meet those needs and you're bringing worship to God. 1 Timothy 14 says that the public reading of Scripture and teaching of His ways brings glory to Him when we read the Word, when we teach others. Ephesians 5, 19-12 says, encouraging one another in Him brings glory to Him. So when we meet together, and you know, we do this meet and greet business, and we do this coffee, and when we bump into each other down the street, and we share with each other, and we say, how are you going? Hey, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember, He's your strength. Remember, He's your courage. Remember to rest in Him. Guess what we're doing? Bring glory to Him. We're submitting our life. It's an act of worship. Colossians 3:22 says, our work is to the Lord, bringing glory to Him. Work as though we are working to the Lord. For some of us in this room, we work in places where we're not sure if our boss knows anything about Jesus. We're pretty sure He doesn't. We don't work as though we're working unto Him. We work as though we're working unto the Lord. Because he is the giver of all things, including our work. And so we honor by working through him. Whenever we're doing, we are worshiping God and bringing glory to his name. Worship originates with an inward posture, an inward posture of the heart that is always bowed down in humble, awe-filled recognition of God's worthiness, honoring and revering him at all times as the supreme authority over our lives. And the more mature we get in our faith, the more we grow in our understanding of him, the more that we are prepared to lay our life down because we have greater trust for him, greater understanding of his being there for us at all times, and we lay our lives down for him. Our level of response to God is an indication of our maturity in him. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, there's a beautiful story, the story of David. And David is walking along with the ark and the presence of God. And he's got the ark of presence of God. It's the Old Testament, so the Holy Spirit does not reside inside the heart of all believers. It comes down on certain people at certain times, but it lives inside the ark. They've got the presence of God. So David has the presence of God with him. And as he's going along, someone mishandles the presence of God. They do it blasé. They just take no notice. And God, they die. And so David's like, we've got to get rid of this presence of God. We've got to get rid of this ark. It's a nightmare. And he's walking along a rural road and he sees a farm and he says, well, give the ark to the farmer. He's got a shed, he can just keep it in the shed. It's where you keep all things that don't want to see again, in the shed. So he puts it in the shed. But what happens is, now because the farmer has the presence of God, all the things that the farmer's doing start to be blessed. And things start to happen for the farmer. And David realizes his mistake and says, we've got to go back and get the presence of God. So he goes back and he gets the Ark of the Covenant, he takes the presence of God and he starts to walk down and he says that he just takes a few steps and he now has the presence of God with him and he's overjoyed again because he knows what it's like to not have the presence of God and he knows what it's like to have the presence of God. And when you have the presence of God with you, it's worth rejoicing and worth celebrating. So he gets the fatted cow bulls and he kills the bulls and then he strips down to his linen ephod. It's like a little linen undie sort of thing. And he begins to dance like crazy before the Lord because he knows what it's like to have the presence of God in his life. So he lives doing now everything towards God. And his wife says, she looks out the window at him coming and she says, oh my goodness, how embarrassing. How embarrassing. And David says some magical words. He says, because he knows what it is to have the presence of God, he says, I'll get even more undignified than this. I'll get even more undignified than this, because when you have the presence of God, our lives are submitted to him in worship and we're prepared to live a life that looks a little crazy and a little weird because, you know what, better to have God in my life than to not have God in my life. And David went on to write this in the Psalms. In Psalm 84 verse 10, he said, better is one day in your courts, Lord, than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. He went on to write Psalm 95, come let us bow down in worship, let us kneel before the Lord and our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. David did a lot of stupid things in his life. You just have to read a bit of the scripture, you'll see that. But what he had was a heart of worship, a heart bowed down to God, and a heart where he called out the name of Jesus. And so living out a life of worship is living in a submitted way to God in everything that we do. And then out of that comes these acts of worship that we do. And so when we come together at a worship time like this and we have a band up the front, we come as an act of worship. It's lining up. It's starting to sing out what we've been living all week. We've been living a submitted life to Jesus through the week and now we come together and we start to sing it out. But when we come to sing it out, we don't always feel like singing out. So what we're doing, we're not only singing it out, we're singing it out, keeping our own eyes up towards God. You might have had a terrible week. We give thanks in all things. We come and we lift our own eyes to God. And as I start to lift my eyes to God, guess what I do? I start to then encourage the people around me and we start to lift up the worship. Because sometimes I come to worship and I think, I can't be bothered. I'm not sure if I'm up for this tonight. And then I look across and I see Don is behind me and he's singing. And I think, gee, that's encouraging. I'm just going to sing. If Don's singing, I'm singing. If Bill's singing, I'm singing. And I know that Sam's had a bad week and he's still singing. And if he's had a bad week and he can sing, then I can sing too. And I start to lift my voice to God. Acts talks about as we sing and worship our Father, the Holy Spirit speaks to our lives. And so we start to encourage. So we come along the church and we join together, not just to sing our praises to God and lift our own eyes to God, but also to encourage others to lift our eyes to God. And here's the thing, we don't come and sing because, you know what, they're playing our favorite song. It said that the more mature you are, the more mature you are, the more you can lay your life down for Jesus. That means you could come here tonight and, you know what, we could have one tambourine that's being played well out of time. And it shouldn't matter because it's not about these guys playing a concert. It's about my heart being lifted to Jesus and saying, I'm going to submit my life to him because I love my Jesus. And so we come and we sing. You know, we've heard me say before, but, you know, God is not in heaven saying, gee, these guys playing my favorite song, angels, everyone come around because they're playing my favorite song. And I love it when Encounter does it. It's wonderful the way they do it. It's awesome. Come and sit and listen. He's not doing that. When we sing, we are joining the chorus of Christians all around the world. We're joining the chorus of angels all around the world, just singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And therefore, I can sing when the tambourine's not right, or I can sing when the band is awesome. Now, we love having great worship people sing and lead us. Why? Because it doesn't distract us. But the job of these guys here is not to entertain us. It's not to bring a concert. We don't come and go, oh, you know what? I don't think they're worth the price of admission tonight. Dave's job is not to excite me. His job is to help me lift my eyes towards Jesus. His job is to lift my eyes. The keyboard job, the guitar job, it's all to lift, help me lift my eyes towards Jesus, to take away distraction that I might lift my eyes towards him because he's the main actor. But let me tell you, if they're not playing my favorite song and they sound out of tune, I'm not going to say, God, sorry, not today, God, they just didn't do it for me. Because it's not about me, because I've been created, it said in Isaiah chapter 43, I've been created to worship him, not to be entertained in the Christian Colosseum. I've come to worship him. So it's an extension of the week of our worship. We sing praise to him and we encourage others around us. The band is not a performance. Their job is to lead us to lift our eyes towards Jesus. And we have been invited in by God. We've been created by God to join the angels in singing holy, holy, holy. And it's an expression of what we're living out all week. That is living in worship. When we worship God, we position ourselves to bring glory to him. We position ourselves under him, so to speak, to say, God, you are worthy of it all. What an invitation. We've been invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into his throne room of grace to lift up his name and to give praise and worship him, because he has given us everything. There's no greater way to do it than that. That's the honor and the privilege that we have. And so tonight, as I finish up, I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to come up. I think they're going to sing a few more times. And we're going to have a chance to sing. And you know what? It's not about the way we sing. I couldn't care less tonight whether you sing on 1 foot, whether you sing on 2 feet, whether you sing with one arm up, two arms up, one arm down. I don't really care. It's about giving him what we've got in here. And if we come tonight and we're not in a place where we feel like we've got much to give, just give him the bit you've got. Lift up the name of Jesus with what you've got. And as you do that, allow him to transform your life. Allow him to transform the way you're seeing things. Your situations get transformed because of the way that we're now viewing them through the lens of a worshiping of a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me pray. Please stand. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the opportunity to live out a life of worship. I thank you for the opportunity, the invitation to come and stand in your presence and to sing songs of praise to you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you lift our eyes towards you. And I thank you that you created us to live lives that bring glory and honor to you. Father, for those of us who have areas of our life where we're like, it's tough to submit that, Lord. Father, just as we worship now, would you start to soften our heart? Are there areas in our life where we haven't given things to God in worship? We're not doing them unto him, we're doing them unto ourselves. Well, Lord, we just want to give them to you tonight. So would you work in our lives tonight? Father, we want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to give praise to you, for you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. For you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we are blessed to call you our Father, to call you our Lord, to call you our Savior. May the words of our lips bring joy to your heart. May the words of our lips bring encouragement to those around us. And may our eyes, like Hebrews 12 says, be always fixed on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.